Hi, this is Vivi from Lefkosha, Cyprus, and you're listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 50 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and I have another good episode for you today. We're going to talk about small talk, vocabulary, grammar, and much, much more. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, on TuneIn Radio, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like Everybody ESL, subscribe to the podcast and leave it a good review. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. The theme for this episode's vocabulary is number words. Now, I'm not talking about number words like 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm talking about more interesting number words. Some of these words you might already know, but I'll bet some of them you don't know. We're going to start with the smaller numbers and work up to the bigger numbers. And the first word on our list is couple. C-O-U-P-L-E, couple. Couple means two things. Couple is often used to mean a pair of people in a romantic relationship. So you might say, I met a nice couple at the party last night. And that means two nice people who are in a romantic relationship. But couple can also mean two of anything. You can say, I wasn't very hungry this morning, so I just ate a couple of strawberries. I wasn't so hungry, so I just ate a couple of strawberries. And here, a couple of something means two of that thing. A couple of strawberries is two strawberries. So a couple is always two of something. The next word is few, F-E-W. Now, few does not have an exact meaning. Few does not mean three or four or five. It means a small number of something. So you could say, I didn't do much last weekend. I just sat around at home and watched a few movies. I watched a few movies. Just a small number of movies. I guess the number that goes along with few can change depending on the situation. So if I heard somebody say that they watched a few movies, I would think that that meant three or four, probably. But no matter what, it is not a precise number. That's just not how few works. And the next word on our list, which I think is a little bit bigger than few, is several. S-E-V-E-R-A-L. Several is a lot like few, but I think it usually refers to a larger number of things. Now the next word is bunch, B-U-N-C-H. Bunch just means a group of something. I went to lunch with a bunch of friends. How many is a bunch? I don't know. I think it's usually more than several, but I think it depends on the situation. It's not a precise number. Now, here is a number word that does refer to a precise number, and that word is dozen, D-O-Z-E-N. A dozen is 12 of something. It could be anything, but a dozen is always 12. Now, there's a similar expression, a baker's dozen, B-A-K-E-R, apostrophe S, a baker's dozen, and that refers to 13 of something. It's kind of an interesting expression, I think. And it comes from the idea of a baker, giving you one extra if you buy a dozen. So if you buy a dozen muffins from the bakery, or a dozen rolls, or a dozen bagels, the grateful baker, the baker is grateful that you bought so many things at the bakery, the grateful baker will give you something for free, one extra. So a baker's dozen is like a special dozen that you get at the bakery. Now, I don't think all bakeries do this. I don't even think most bakeries do this. But that's where the expression comes from. So a baker's dozen is 13 of something. Now, this next word is definitely not precise. It just means a large number of something. And that word is boatload. B-O-A-T-L-O-A-D. Boatload. This is definitely an informal word. A boatload is a large number of things. I guess it's such a large number of things that you need a boat to carry all of them. Or if you put them all on a boat, it would completely fill up the boat. It's a boatload, a large number of things. The next word is gross, G-R-O-S-S. Now, gross has many meanings, some of them positive, some of them negative, some of them neutral, and it also means a group of 144 things. 144 things. It's kind of a strange number. Well, it comes from 12 dozen. 144 is 12 dozens. 12 times 12 is 144. I still think it's a little strange that we have a word that means 144 things, but we do. And you will usually see gross used to refer to mass-produced things, things that are made in large quantities and sold in large quantities and shipped in large quantities. It's not really a very common word, but if you see it, now you know that a gross is 144. And the last word on our list is kind of a fun word. Again, this is also an informal word. The word is zillion. Z-I-L-L-I-O-N. What is a zillion? A zillion is a huge number, a very big number. A number so big, maybe we don't even know how many it is. We can't even count that high. It's supposed to sound like words like million, billion, and trillion, and so on. And it kind of sounds like a word that kids use. A zillion just means a whole lot. So many, I can't even count. And you will hear variations on zillion sometimes. Words like bajillion or kajillion. These mean a huge number of things, a really big number, but not a precise number. Well, that is our vocabulary list for the week. This episode's social situation or small talk topic is ordering food on the phone. This is something that I do occasionally, and I bet it's something that you do occasionally also. But what's the right way to do it? Well, it's not difficult. The situation I'm going to tell you about today is ordering food from a restaurant that you will go and pick up and bring home. Well, how do you do that? How do you make an order like that? Well, here's how I do it, and I think this is a good way for you to do it also. After the person at the restaurant picks up the phone, I usually say, "Hi, I'd like to make an order to pick up." That tells them right away what kind of order I'm making. I'm not making an order for them to deliver to me, and I'm not calling in an order for food that they can get ready for me, and I will come to the restaurant and eat it there. No, I'm telling them, I'm going to make an order, I'm going to tell you what I want, and then I will come to the restaurant, pay for the food, and then bring the food home. So I say, "Hi, I'd like to make an order to pick up." This is when they say, "What would you like?" Or, "What do you want?" Or, "What is your order?" And I tell them my order, and of course, I already have a menu or I have found the menu online, so I don't waste the person's time. I can tell them exactly what I want. Now, what will they say after I have made my order. They will probably say three things. They will say, is that all, or anything else, or would you like anything else? And when they ask that, I say, no, that's it. Now, they will ask me for my name, and when I give my name, I often spell my name. Even though I have a very short and common name, Ben, I still spell it just to make sure they get it right. And I think that's probably a good idea for you, too. So they'll say, and may I have your name? Or, and what is your name? Or, and what name is this under? And then I say, Ben, B-E-N. Now, they will probably ask for my phone number. I give them the phone number, they say thank you, and they tell me when the food will be ready. I say thank you, and I hang up, and I go to the restaurant, and I pick up my food, and I bring it home, and I eat it, and everybody is happy. The grammar topic for today's episode is the construction let's do something. Let's verb. That's L-E-T apostrophe S. Let's do something. Let's go to the movies. Let's take a walk. Let's go swimming. Now, I have seen English language learners make a simple mistake with this construction. I don't think that I've heard this mistake so much as I have seen it in writing. And here is the mistake I have seen. I have seen people say things like, let's talk with me. Let's send me a message. When I explain what this construction means, I think you will understand why those are mistakes. This is what the let's construction means. It means, I suggest that we do something, or I think that it would be a good idea for us to do something. The most important thing to notice here is that let's always refers to us, you and me. And that's what the apostrophe S means in let's. It means us, because let's is a short form of let us. Now, you could say, let us go to the movies, or let us go out to get lunch. But nobody really uses let us anymore. People almost always say let's. Now, you know that contractions are very, very common, especially in spoken English. But let's, L-E-T apostrophe S, I think is even more common. I think we really almost always say let's. And we almost never say, let us. So, us is an important part of let's. So it doesn't work to say something like, let's chat with me. Because that's like saying, I think that you and I should chat with me. Well, that just doesn't work. I can't suggest that the two of us chat with me. I can't suggest that the two of us send me a message. I can't suggest that the two of us should visit me. So I can't say, hey, let's visit me this summer. No, that doesn't work. I would have to say something like, let's get together this summer, or let's see each other this summer. In other words, I think we, you and I, should see each other this summer. So let's always refers to us, you and me, the person I'm talking to, and myself. So you should use this expression when you want to make a suggestion to somebody about something the two of you can do together. Let's go for a walk. Let's go for a drive. Let's get together this weekend. Let's see that new movie everybody is talking about. In other words, I suggest that we do this. I think it would be a good idea to do this. I would like to do this. Would you like to do this too? That's what let's means. It's a very useful expression. I think if you start listening for it, you will hear it more and more around you. And now it's time. I can't believe it. Finally, now it's time for the joke of the week. I'm extremely excited because the joke of the week is always a hilarious joke. It is the funniest. Well, no. As you know, the joke of the week is not usually hilarious. I'm not even sure if it's usually a little bit funny, but I still think the joke of the week is a good thing because it can tell us interesting things about English. Well, this is this week's joke. What kind of waves do little surfers like? What kind of waves do little surfers like? A surfer is somebody who goes surfing, somebody who likes to surf or to ride on a surfboard on the waves. What kind of waves do little surfers like? Have any ideas? Do you need to think about it for a minute? Or should we just get right to the answer? Okay, well, here is the answer. What kind of waves do little surfers like? Microwaves! Do you get it? Microwaves? Well, you might think of a microwave as a kind of oven. You might heat up your leftovers in a microwave, or you might heat up a mug of water to make tea in your microwave, or maybe you make popcorn in your microwave. Well, yes, that is what a microwave is. But if you know what the prefix micro means, then you can understand this joke. Because micro is a prefix, is a little piece of a word that just means very small. Now, this prefix micro shows up in many, many English words. For example, microscope. A microscope is something that allows you to see things that are very, very small. So a microwave, yes, it is a kind of oven, but it's also a very small wave. And that's the kind of wave that a very small surfer would like. So a little surfer would like a microwave. Well, that's the joke of the week. It's an excellent joke, just like every joke of the week. And I urge you to tell this joke to your friends and see if they laugh. Now it's quiz time. As you might know, this is the part of the podcast where I usually give some kind of quiz. It might be a spelling quiz, a vocabulary quiz, a grammar quiz, a comprehension quiz, or a listening quiz. And that is the kind of quiz I have been giving lately. What I'm going to do is read four sentences. I'm going to read each of them two times. And I'm going to read them pretty quickly, at a pretty natural conversational speed. And after I have read each of these sentences two times, I will read each of them again much more slowly, so you can see how much you understood. And if you want to stop and go back and listen to the sentences more than once, if you want to listen to them many times, that is, of course, completely fine. But I will read them very slowly after you have had time to listen to them and write down what you hear. Okay, let's start. Here is sentence number one. I was so surprised when my friends bought me a cake for my birthday. I was so surprised when my friends bought me a cake for my birthday. Sentence number two. His uncle is coming for a visit and he's not looking forward to it. His uncle is coming for a visit, and he's not looking forward to it. Sentence number three. Let's meet downtown about a half hour before the movie starts. Let's meet downtown about a half hour before the movie starts. And sentence number four. She knew she would love her job, but it was even better than she'd hoped. She knew she would love her job, but it was even better than she'd hoped. Okay, well, those are our four sentences, read pretty quickly, And remember, if you need to stop here and go back and listen to them again, that's completely fine. And now I'm going to read each of them much more slowly, and I will explain some things about them if it is necessary. Sentence number one. I was so surprised when my friends bought me a cake for my birthday. I was so surprised when my friends bought me a cake for my birthday. Sentence number two. His uncle is coming for a visit, and he's not looking forward to it. In other words, he is not looking forward to it. That's he's, H-E apostrophe S, and that, of course, is a contraction for he is. And if you look forward to something, that means you are thinking about it coming, thinking about it happening in the future with excitement or happiness or anticipation. So in this sentence, this person, whoever he is, his uncle is coming to visit, but he is not looking forward to it. He does not want his uncle to come for a visit. Sentence number three. Let's, that's L-E-T apostrophe S, just like from our grammar lesson, let's meet downtown about a half hour before the movie starts. Let's meet downtown about a half hour, about 30 minutes, before the movie starts. And sentence number four. She knew she would love her job, but it was even better than she'd hoped. Now that's she'd, S-H-E apostrophe D. That is a contraction of she had. So the job was even better than she had hoped it would be. She knew she would love her job, but it was even better than she'd hoped. Okay, well, that is our listening quiz. How did you do? And that's the end of episode 50 of Everybody ESL. If you have any questions about English, or if you have any comments or suggestions for a future episode of the podcast, or if you would like to record the introduction for a future podcast, the same way you heard Vivi's introduction at the beginning of this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.